boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Is it a tournament? No, it's not a freaking tournament. A boondoggle's just an event where a bunch of kayak anglers come together for a weekend of fun and kayak fishing. We all get together and fish, check out industry-related products, have a big dinner, and swap a fishing story or two. What's that? Sounds like a useless waste of time? Yeah, it is. So what? So get your butt up off the couch and get to a boondoggle. Bring yourself. Bring your family. Heck, bring your hairy-ass brother-in-law. I don't care. Just get to a boondoggle. Check out yakangler.com/boondoggle for more information.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
Welcome to the Monday Night Kickoff Show. I am your one half of the hosting crew here at the Monday Night Kickoff Show, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Alan Ryland. How are you, brother?
Oh, good. What's up, man? The Monday Night Scramble.
Monday Night Scramble. Gotta love it. Things are good here in the Levi household. We got two sleeping children already, so that's positive. We had a pretty exciting weekend of fishing. We'll get to that shortly. We had a nice little meet and greet down there at Harry Goods Outdoor Shop down in Melbourne. So that was also pretty awesome. Pretty cool to put faces to a few names that I haven't met before and see some old friends as well and all that kind of fun stuff. Tonight we were supposed to be joined by some folks from the Ram Company. However, I dropped the ball. And I forgot to email the gentleman this morning. Therefore, we will not have them on as guests tonight. However, I'm hoping to be able to reschedule for maybe next week or the week after. Also, too, I look forward to welcoming Morgan of Hobie to our show one of these Monday nights coming up. Morgan, I'm not even going to try and pronounce his last name because I don't want to butcher it. He is the fishing product manager of Hobie. So he can fill us in on all things Hobie kayaks, and maybe he'll even share something with us that's going to happen out at OR. That'd be cool. But and then also too, I'm going to extend out a invitation to one Miss Christina Weber of CCA Florida. She is the assistant regional director of CCA Florida's, I guess Orlando chapter or what have you. So we'll hopefully get her on the show and have her talk about the CCA and. You know, for those of you who don't know what CCA of Florida is, it's the Coastal Conservation Association. So that'd be cool. What else do we need to get to, Alan? Of course, we've got the Help Keep Emily in Her School charity tournament coming up in September the 14th to be exact. The tournament will be held out of Kayaks by Bow here in Titusville, Florida. If anybody's listening to the show, you want to come on out and fish it, the registration is open. For more information on that tournament, you can go to helpemilynow.org and find some more information on that. And it's a great family, great opportunity to help to donate or help to raise some funds for a very deserving little young lady. So check that out. This whole the family story, Emily's story is all on their website. So again, feel free to browse that at your leisure. The tournament registration is free. There is no entry fee, so to speak, but they are accepting donations. So, you know, feel free to do that and stick around for sure, even if you don't catch anything, because the raffles and the auction items are going to be awesome. I saw that our good friend Bill Terry over at Orca Coolers donated, I believe it was the 56 quart pink cooler to the shindig. So it should be pretty awesome. Alan, you got your tournament coming up soon?
Yep, November 9th. Yeah, we're still plugging away, getting things lined up. No, nothing real new going on. Just waiting. So I don't think I announced it last time, but Mr. Lenny Sutton of Black Dog Rods has stepped up once again. He will be donating one of his custom redfish print rods, I believe it is. So he's lining us up with that. So going to be another good prize for somebody. And, you know, we're still getting some other stuff lined up, working on details and stuff, getting all the last-minute stuff, or not really last-minute. We still got a few months to go, but plugging right along. So doing good.
What else is new and exciting in the world of Alan Ryland?
Let's see. Well, like you said, we did the Harry Goods meet and greet for Space Coast Kayak Anglers here locally, which was pretty much open to the public. He had a really good turnout. A lot of people showed up. Of course, with any event that I have any part of, the storms rolled through as usual. But luckily, we had a little pop-up canopy thing. We could do the grilling underneath that and stuff. So turned out good. He had a pretty full house there in the shop. And, you know, like you said, met some people that, you know, I knew from the group but never met. So had a real good time, brought some business into the shop, hung out, ate some good food, and drank some beverages, and that's always fun. I know he ran a little kind of an in-house tournament thing for biggest and smallest fish out of pretty much any category, and I believe the top honors for big fish went to a good friend of Mike Kinnean's. I cannot remember his name to save my life, but fishes off a boat paddleboard. And, that was the smallest fish. Biggest fish, which I don't remember his name at all, was a 4-foot gar that took first place prize. So he got a pretty cool prize pack. And the smallest fish was a Mayan cichlid, I believe it was, that the gentleman caught off the paddleboard. So, but it was a good time, definitely. So have to do that again.
That's cool.
It, John. And he just told me who it was. John Billings, I think, is his last name. Yep. That was small
very
fish.
Cool. Yeah, very cool. And did you get to fish at all this weekend, Alan?
Yeah, I didn't fish Saturday. I had, because of work, being on call and stuff, I wasn't able to fish the event Saturday for Richard's thing. But I got out Sunday and went out, me and Peppy and Wade. Hit one of our favorite little spots there in the no motor zone. And, you know, it's been pretty consistent there. We, you know, I know you fished it, which I'll let you talk about, but, we did okay. We bumped up a couple schools, actually pulled a triple. Each of us all hooked a fish out of the same school. Wade hooked up first, and, Peppy and I kind of made haste and caught up to the school. Peppy hooked up, got his fish. I caught back up to him, went to throw to him, and noticed my line had wrapped about 4 or 5 times around the tip of my rod, so I had to untangle that and get back up to him. Then I hooked up, and it's pretty funny. Peppy and I had the GoPro. I got out of the boat, staked off, and got the GoPro going, trying to mess with that thing to get some videos and stuff, and got a little bit of a video clip of me fighting my fish in, got my fish landed, you know, at least to the boat, and then Peppy come around the side, and kind of had his arm cradled in his kind of the bend of his elbow. We're waiting on Wade to get up to us with his fish, and I got it all on video. It's pretty funny. Peppy dropped his rod, submerged the reel, and I guess his first reaction was to throw the redfish at me, which in the process knocked the redfish out of my hand I was holding. Luckily, I hadn't taken the hook out of its mouth yet. We still had him hooked up, but it's pretty comical. You can see Peppy's reel just submerged, start heading towards the bottom, and he throws his redfish at me, and of course I didn't catch it. I dropped mine, and it's pretty good. But we got a good laugh out of that. But we got all three of our fish, probably all. I think we measured weighs. I think it was right at 25, 26 inches towards upper slot. So all the fish were released. We didn't keep anything, and got one small fish tailing. I found up shallow that, got him. And then that was pretty much it. We tried to move outside and get some ladyfish to try to do some donkey fishing on the outer bars out there for some of the big ones, but didn't pan out real well. The wind came up on us. But I will mention all the fish were caught on Slayer Inc. As usual. I know Peppy got his on an SSP chicken off the chain, and Wade and I were both throwing the SSP moltings. And once again, paid off. Slayer Inks are always our go-to baits. So, but we had fun. That's pretty much my report.
Cool. Guests there in the chat room, if you want to log in and talk amongst yourselves there in the chat room, feel free. The chat room is free to join. You can use your Facebook or Twitter account to log in. So feel free to do that. Also, too, we encourage people to call us here on the show to give us a fishing report. That would be really cool to get some local reports, maybe even some non-local reports sent in. Got what I'm going to read off a little while later from over in the West Coast. But let's see. The call-in number is 714-816-4727, 714-816-4727. So feel free to call in, give us a little report, kind of let us know, you know, where you're at, where you're fishing, what you're doing. If you're planning on fishing this weekend, if you have any tournaments or anything like that you might would like to plug, or you got a, you know, your little kayak groups around the country you might want to plug, feel free to do that. who is the guest for tonight? The guest for tonight, again, I dropped the ball on that. It was supposed to be folks from RAM. I forgot to email the guy early this morning. I did so in the afternoon and have not heard back from him. So we'll try and get them back on again maybe next week. See what their schedule looks like. But so you don't really have a guest. You've got me. So that's pretty much it. And Alan. So and standby. And Wade, who's just listening. What's that about?
He's having computer difficulty, so he's just logged in listening, but he said if we would like him to come on and give us some words of wisdom, he'd be glad to.
Dude, how can you not get words of wisdom from the mayor?
I know, that's true.
Well, anyhow, so... Yeah, no, we'll leave him on hold for a second. So, let's see. We can treat Alan as the guest, he says. All right. So, Alan,
my screen name there. Appreciate that.
I was waiting to see if you noticed that. I just saw that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no worries.
Turtle. That's okay.
Yeah, it is what it is. Nothing but love for you, brother. So, let's see. My fishing report. All right. So, Saturday, rather than going down and playing bumper boats in Crane Creek, I decided to go to the No Motor Zone as well. Fished there with Chris Flores and Wade Hollowell. What's his real name? Cletus? Curtis.
Curtis, I think. Yeah.
Anyway, so we fished with Wade and fished with Chris. That was fun. Had a frustrating beginning of my day. Probably the camera jinx. We had my boat all rigged up with GoPro camera and all kinds of stuff. So we're trying to get some really good footage for something me and Chris are working on. So I hooked two fish right off the bat and lost two fish. Tommy Head, I know you're listening in there, buddy, using your jig heads. And I had one of them just about bent straight. So,
wow.
Yeah, if that tells you anything, one of the fish that I had hooked was a pretty decent one and just about bent that thing completely straight. I mean, bent it straight enough to where he was able to get off and swim off. So anyhow, but I will say this, after bending the Tommy Head jig back into shape, I proceeded to catch two more redfish on that same jig head and a trout, I think. Was it trout on the jig head? No, the trout was on. Trout was on Savage Gear shrimp that I brought back from ICAST. So,
cool.
But yeah, I was happy to see that something ate it. That was pretty cool. Actually, I had two or three redfish take swipes at it as well. I think the weedless hook, it just wasn't my friend. But so we've got some pretty cool footage, underwater footage, I think, of some redfish and things like that. And it was my maiden voyage of my new 26-quart Orca cooler that will now and forever be my polling platform on my PA-14. And it was awesome. It was as stable, if not more stable, than the other kayaks in which I've stood on coolers on. And it was very comfortable to be up there. It was cool because you could see forever in a day. Definitely a little bit of an advantage there. So that was cool. It was awesome. I ended up with two redfish and two trout. One of my redfish did have to meet the ice because of the two that I lost previous pissed me off. So I decided it was time to kill one. And the other one we... What's that?
Said he probably deserved it anyway. So
he did deserve it. And was it a 4-0 or a 3-0 jig? It was a... I want to say it was a 4-0. And don't be sorry. It happens. A testament again to that jig is I've been fishing with the same exact one now for probably 3 or 4 weeks. And I've got, I don't know how many redfish on it and trout on it. So, hey, you know what? Actually longer than that, because that's the same jig head I was using at the Tropic Bay tournament when I caught those black drum. So I haven't sharpened it. I haven't done anything to it besides bend it back into shape after this last fish bent it out. But great jig heads there, Tommy. Appreciate that, of course. Check out Tommy Head Jigs for any of your jig head needs. He makes a good product. But as with Alan, my two redfish came on Slayer SSTs. Both of them came off of molting. I threw chicken off the chain. I threw buttery nipple. I threw a couple other colors, but they both came off of molting. I was throwing those on a... What trout was that? That was the Lenny Sutton special. And so a 7-foot medium action rod with 10-pound braid and 20-pound leader. What else? Oh, the reel I was using was a Stradic CI-4 3000, I believe. I just, for whatever reason, man, I can't seem to catch anything but trout on that Mitchell. So, you know, I haven't really put it to good use yet. Feel kind of bad. But, you know, like I say, it was a good day. A lot of people out there on the water, which... You know, it's going to eventually turn that area into a wasteland. You know, all of the continuous pressure that keeps getting put on those fish in that one stretch of body of water there will make it tough. We moved out to the outer bars, and there were some, as you call them, donkeys. There were some giants that were cruising around out there, and I had nothing for them. So that didn't pan out, but all in all, it was a great Saturday, then drove on down to Richard's store, and as you said, we had a great time. Thank you very much, Alan, for being the chef for the festivities. Problem. Yeah, between you and Randy English, you guys did a heck of a job. And
I was going to say, Randy was definitely a huge help. We had some technical difficulties. I think we were trying to cook for, it had to have been at one point 20 to 30 people on a regular old Weber grill, and the handle broke off the lid. So that got kind of comical trying to team up to get the lid off the grill to flip stuff and everything. But that's all right. It burns will heal.
And I feel bad because I never got a chance to try out any of Tammy's cake that she made. I heard it was awesome. Oh,
you missed out on that one. That was awesome. That was a very good cake. I think I had about I was trying to cut back. I think I only had about 6 pieces.
Oh, well, thank you for eating my portion. Appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, anytime.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no worries. So that was cool. So after hanging out there, consuming a couple of cold, refreshing beverages, head back on home. And, didn't clean my redfish till the next day. Left him in the Orca cooler, which was fine because he was basically like an ice cube the next morning when I woke up. And took them on down to a local pond here near me And oh yes, that's right. And the Rice Krispie treats. My bad. Those things were awesome. So Mike Kinnean's girlfriend made those. So that was fiance. Sorry, made those. So that was awesome. And where was it going with that? Oh, I went down to the lake to fillet the fish and let the turtles eat the carcass and stood there on the dock. Now, here's where I'm probably going to anger some of you freshwater fans. Stood there in the dock and watched several bass swim by. And there's a guy down there fishing, not really doing a whole lot of nothing. He was just, you know, I guess feeding the little tiny brim worms or whatever. And I asked him if he would mind if I ran into my truck, got a rod and came back because I couldn't stand to see a bass swim by again. So he said, no, no problem. They're not really hitting. Okay. So I run into the truck, grab my rod, still rigged up with a Slayer SST and molting. It's rigged weedless. I throw it, I don't know, probably 20 feet out in front of the dock into some heavy grass. Start retrieving. Boom, little bass eats it. And it's a little bass. I mean, I'm not trying to make it sound like I caught a big bass, but it was a little bass. And be honest, bass are lame. Bass fishing kind of sucks. It's just not really my thing. You know, I used to bass fish quite a bit growing up, and I've caught plenty of big bass. So I had somebody, when I said that on Facebook, send me a message, and he was definitely upset about the fact that I was making fun of largemouth bass. But
yeah, I think you stirred the pot there with that one. So
I did. I touched a few nerves, which I think was kind of funny. So this guy tells me, well, go out and catch an 8-pounder in heavy grass and then come talk to me. And I was like, well, buddy, I've caught plenty of 8 and 10 and 12-pound bass in Vieira when it was still all cow pastures and they were all in heavy grass. And it's fun for like 30 seconds and then it's just dragging them to the boat. So not really my cup of tea. Kudos to you guys that love to catch those low-sodium fish. But, you know, it was all right, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. So then I went to Kayak Savo, took care of a little business there, and then went back and took Trey back to the pond where my son knocked yet another species of fish that you can catch on a bread ball off of his list, which was a wild shiner that, by the way, I wonder how long a wild shiner would live in the NMZ. What do you think?
Not long.
You don't think long?
As far as not as far as not getting eaten wise, probably.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that would definitely. I tell you what, when we were fishing the what tournament? I think it was the Orlando tournament when they held that. We were throwing. We went to a little freshwater lake and we netted some mullet and we netted some tilapia too. And, of course, we didn't fish them live, but I don't think redfish care. I mean, live, dead, whatever. But I think you throw a live shiner out there and let that thing swim around in those deep troughs out there, I don't think it's going to last long.
I was thinking about that. I'm like, I wonder if I could keep a couple of them alive, get them over there, even if they only lasted like a minute or two in the somewhat salt water. If I can get one out in front of one of those donkeys on the bar, I bet you'd slurp that thing down like Snickers.
Oh, big time. That or goldfish.
what did they say? Actually, have a little info on that shiner stuff in my report. Okay. Where's your report? He didn't call. Call with a report.
No.
Calvin, that's who it is. It's Calvin.
That's right. Whatever.
We're so all over the place tonight, folks. Listen, if you guys don't know, we have a free downloadable app for iTunes and also for Android products. So feel free if you're driving, commuting from work or whatever, and you want to stay in touch with all things Kayak Fishing Radio, you can download the app for free in your app store. And with that, I'm going to go to a soundbite that's going to take a little while to let us gather our thoughts. So stand by.
Hey, man, what you doing, man? I'm just trying to find out about this boondoggle thing, man. Boondoggle? That's not good stuff, man. A friend of mine back in the hood smoked some of that stuff, man. It's not good. He was freaking out, man. Nah, man. I'm talking about a kayak fishing boondoggle, man. It's when a bunch of fishermen on kayaks get together to hang out, man. A bunch of kayak fishermen hanging out. Sounds fishy to me, man. How do these guys hook up? Well, I tried to look them up, but they don't have a website yet, man. No website, man. Bummer. Nah, man, but I hear they're trying to raise money to build one, man.
Oh, yeah? I'm trying to raise the money, too, man. You want to buy some?
Nah, man. But this kayak fishing boondoggle thing is really a good idea, man. I think we ought to help these guys out, man.
All right, man. I'm with you. So where do we go, man?
Oh, nah, man. We ain't got to go nowhere, man. Right now, we can help them out by checking out kayakfishingboondoggle.com, man.
Okay, man. I can boondoggle on that, man. Don't get stuck in your kayak.
Yeah. That little tidbit was brought to you by the fine folks at yakangler.com and Chip Gibson here at Kayak Fishing Radio. So, yeah, there you go. Boondoggle. We're trying to do a boondoggle website, man. It really helped us get things going, man. Should be really good, man. Man. no, in all seriousness, we really need to get a solid we need to get a solid website together so that when we go to present the boondoggle to other cities and whatnot, there's a little bit more legitimacy to what all it is that we are doing at the present moment. So what do you got, Alan? What do you got going on there? You got Greg on the line?
Yep, Greg's on the line. And real quick, I just want to tell you something else funny that we saw on Sunday when me and Wade and Pepe were fishing. Wade just reminded me about it. So real quick so we can get Greg on with his report. But we're sitting there, Pepe and I were paddling north, and we kept hearing something, sounded like, we didn't know what it was, splashing around in the water along the shoreline. First we thought it was fish chasing bait, and then it, you know, we could kind of see in kind of the twilight that it, you know, we thought it was like ducks all flying around, splashing or whatever. So we kept paddling. So then we hear it again, and it sounds like something running through the water, some type of animal. So what we find out it is, Wade catches back up to us. He actually saw it. It was probably, Wade could probably tell us better, probably I'd say 150 to 200-pound wild hog that we figured, because we heard dogs barking and we heard people talking in the woods, so they must have been out there running hogs on the no motor zone NASA property, as they are permitted to do, you know, permitted to do with special permits. But I guess those dogs had run that hog out into the water, and Wade said he was probably, I forget how far offshore, but I guess Wade watched them just running up and down the shoreline. Just I guess those dogs were on his tail, so he was trying to escape the dogs out in the water. So that was something you don't see every day fishing, as a wild hog running around up and down the flats where you're fishing. So I'd forgotten about that. It was pretty funny. But anyway, that was it.
Cool. That is pretty funny, and that's a good story. Hogs running around in the motor zone. Excellent. So bring your crack corn and treble hooks. There you go.
Snag. So,
there, snag them. That's what I'm talking about. Real quick before we get to Greg, Matt Giles, the infamous one from over on the West Coast, sent me a Central West Coast report. So for all of you guys that might be living over in the West Coast area that might be questioning what to do, where to go, what's been going on, whatever, or the guys from here that seem to be making the trip over quite a bit to the West Coast to do some fishing, here's what you got. He says, oops, I just lost it. He says, the fishing over here on the West Coast has been very hot. We have had a few weeks of a good morning incoming flood tide into a strong afternoon going out. Early morning trout is always the best, starting on the grass flats from 2 foot to 4 foot of water. Top dog and a shad tail, slayer, pepper death has been the color of choice on a light jig head, have been working best for him. As the tide comes in, he has been beating the bushes for reds and snook. Live shrimp will get you as many reds as you want, like with most good overhanging mangroves, holding at least 3 to 5 fish per mangrove tree. pulling about 25 from one spoil island in an hour in Cockroach Bay. Wow. 25 reds in an hour. Okay, that's cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah, the beaches are lined with bait, snook and tarpon. Caught snook to the 30 to 40 inch range near Longboat Key on X wraps and large white jerk baits. Also, with all the rain they've had, he says the dams have been pumping nighttime with small white soft plastics, SST pearl with chartreuse tail, 3/8 ounce jig to get it near the bottom. Have held tons and tons of large snook and small tarpon. If you guys need any more information on fishing over there on the West Coast, feel free to contact. All right, here we go. Hootyhoo@yahoo.com or hootyhoo.charters@facebook.com. And that hootyhoo is spelled W-O-O-T-Y-H-O-O at, again, yahoo.com or hootyhoocharters@facebook.com. So thanks, Matt. Appreciate the report, man. That's awesome. We need to get over there and do something with that. That's... Say what?
I just saying Woody Hoo. I just got excited with that report. So.
Woody Hoo. Can't help it. There you go. We got Steve Chapman there in the chat room from Fish in Florida Radio joining us as always. These guys are great supporters of this little show that we do, and we are huge fans of the giant show that they do. Even with the pro staffer, the Mexican pro staffer on board. The scallop season, he says, is out of control over on the West Coast. Initial reports for the mini season is going to be amazing. And per Larissa Switlick, right? From Larissa Unleashed Fishing Show. Look at, see that, Steve? Steve gets not only fishing reports, Steve gets fishing reports from fishing show hosts. That's what I'm talking about. It's pretty awesome. Cool. Thanks for that, Steve. And that's something I've been dying to do, too, by the way, is get the kayaks over to the West Coast and do some scalloping. We should probably try and make a trip out of that as well.
But, I just...
What?
I was going to say I'm usually out of my kayak anyway, so might as well make good of it.
Ouch. All right. Well, here goes nothing. We were bringing on the man, the myth, the legend himself, Greg.
How's it going, fellas?
Greg Berry from the wonderful world of Brevard County. Give me a good fish report, man. What you got going on?
I tell you what, I think the word for the week is going to be tarpon, man. They are everywhere right now. We're getting tarpon down in Turkey Creek, around 30 pounds right now. On flat wraps, on live shrimp, they are hitting on just about anything you throw around them when they start rolling. I had a buddy, he jumped one about 30 pounds the other day, and he was so stoked. It was the first one he hit in the kayak, and he was just loving it. It was a good sight to see. But the pogies right now are up and down the beach. And you can get out there with a sabiki and drag it through those tight balls of pogies, hook you a couple pogies, throw one out there, throw up and down the beach. You'll find a nice tarpon around 80 to 100 pounds right now. I've heard word of some bigger ones. I haven't seen any with my own eyes, but I've heard word that people have pulled in a couple bigger ones. But on the shiner thing you were talking about, in the very back of Turkey Creek, I don't know if you guys know the spill way that comes into that.
Yep.
On the west, sorry, not the west, but the north side of that right now, is open. And if you throw those live shiners up in there, they're catching snook, bass, and tarpon. You never know what you're going to get. So you get a nice little mix right there.
Nice.
Yeah. A buddy of mine has been taking his kid down there, and they've been having a blast down there, just catching nice, you know, snook are smaller than 20 inches and stuff, but... The bass have been around 6 pounds, and then the tarpon's just been a surprise hit. So,
nice,
pretty good.
Yeah, man. Have you been able to get off the beach at all?
You know, I was going to make the trip on Sunday, and we literally went to the beach from Harry Good's shop, went straight to the beach, and looked beautiful. Came home, loaded the kayaks, crossed over the first bridge of Pineta, and it still looked good. As we crossed over the second bridge, we noticed the wind picking up, and by the time we got to the beach, it was white cabin. So we had to bail out on our Sunday trip.
Gotcha.
So I've been going to the beach. Go ahead.
Good deal. I've been getting some good reports from the beach from guys fishing up at Playlinda. There's been tons of sharks. Some big Jack Revel. There's been some Bonita schools have been just out of kayaking range or their kayaking range. So the pogies weren't really, really thick up there today. Most of the guys are just catching whiting or catching croakers and fishing with them, catching sharks and that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's cool, man. This time of year, you know, the beach starts getting inundated with all the bait balls and whatnot. And you just never know, so it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I got a trip set up for Wednesday straight after work, so I'm really hoping the wind's going to hold up for us on Wednesday evening.
Good deal. Yeah, man, hopefully you jump a giant tarpon or get yourself a big old fat smoker kingfish.
Yep, that's what I hear. So
what's your preferred method?
My preferred method is going to be just going with live bait for the tarpon. Yeah. I've thrown a few different lures at them on the big guys. They just seem to not care. They make this quick dart towards it and they leave it. So I'm throwing live bait for the pogies, but what I like to do sometimes is I'll get a nice little finger mullet. I'll get him from the river and I'll bring him with me. Because sometimes you throw that oddball bait, a little different than what they're seeing all the time, and nab their attention.
Nice. That's a good idea, man. That's a good tip too. And one of the things that I used to like to do a lot when I did more beach fishing than what I've done lately is just get on the outside of the breakers and just go nice and slow with a X-wrap or a stretch 25 or something like that. Something that'll get down and hug the bottom right below those pogie pods. Tell you what, man, there's nothing more exciting than just dropping a bait or pulling a stretch bait through those pogie pods and seeing what you can come up with. So it's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, it is. It's a blast. So, but I was throwing just a 20-pound test out there at them, just having a blast with them screaming that drag off.
You know, you said you've been bass fishing, right? Bass fishing?
I have been bass fishing. It's right in the canals. We're either going to the kayaks, we've also been throwing off the shores. So pretty much if you can find a ditch on your way to work, you got a little extra time, instead of sitting at work waiting that last 15 minutes, I recommend throwing a worm out there. I guarantee you get a few bass. You are right. They're not the smartest fish, but hey, they are still fun, buddy.
Yeah, they'll do when you can't get down to the river. I just find it so hard to, like, I'm not motivated at all to go bass fish. Like, one of the things that I'm dying to do, and maybe this year, this winter or whatever, I'll be able to get out with Steve there from Fishing Florida Radio. I've been meaning to do it for a couple of years now, is get after the shad when they come in. But I don't know, man. They don't pull hard enough, man. They don't pull drag. It's like I like to hear a fish take off and scream away from me and, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
But you're kind of right. When I was younger, we were at the state marsh fishing from the shore, and a guide happened to be there and didn't have anybody he was taking out, took us out, and we weren't catching anything. He was actually fishing at the time for what was he fishing for? Oh, I can't say. Anyways, he was fishing for something else, and we were trying to get bass, and he's like, I don't know why you guys can't catch a bass. So he drops his worm down straight at the boat, takes it a little bit, gets the bass on. He's like, go ahead, you can feel my line. You know there's a bass there, right? He proceeded to walk the bass real slowly, completely around the boat. The fish still didn't even know it's hooked. He's like, I'm not sure why you can't catch any of these fish because they're not very smart at all. So he set the hook and caught a nice 6-pound bass just like that.
Well, what's going on? I don't even know. I have to apologize, brother. I don't. Alan, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to screen a call. See, we don't have a producer for the show, and it's pretty obvious when we get about halfway through it. But, you know, whenever we get a caller that calls in, we have to screen our own calls. So sometimes when we do that, we kind of have to be like, oh, crap, I got to have to mute myself and not hear what anyone's talking about. So when I come back, I hear something about a bass swimming around the boat. I had this strange mental, like, image of, like, a giant bass that's swimming around the boat, like, trying to stalk you guys or something like that. I don't know what's going on. Delirious. Alan.
I'm on the screen, so I wasn't paying attention either, so my bad.
That would have been a much more exciting story.
Greg, repeat everything you just said again.
No, you don't have to repeat it all over again, brother. It's cool.
No, hey, Greg, I gotta bust your chops. You were supposed to meet us on Sunday for fishing, and I think we waited all of about 2 or 3 minutes on you to show up before we just got mad and left. So just so you know, we waited a couple minutes and then we just took off. So we figured you'd find us. But anyway, I just had to say that. So.
Yeah, I know.
Way to be a.
That's how it goes. You know, if I'd have been there, you wouldn't have caught fish. So it's probably the best thing.
All right. I was going to share my secrets with you, but never mind.
Well,
that's all right. Wade already told me all your secrets.
Figures. Yeah, he's good.
Was he sitting next to you, or was he like paddling away from you when he was telling you the secrets? Because sometimes
he was on the other side of the island, but I got most of it.
we love Wade, man. Wade's awesome. And yeah, for those of you that don't know Wade, he's in the chat room there as the engineer. Wade is notorious for telling you a story as he paddles away from you into the wind. So you can't hear a word he's saying.
At 200 yards.
Yeah, 200 yards away. Here's a funny story about our trip real quick, and we're going to go to probably one of the most well-respected kayak guides this side of the Mississippi. But we're sitting there the other day on Saturday, and Wade hooks a fish, and I'm so pissed. Like, I'm so angry because he's like, up on me now, right? Like, this is like number two or something like that for the day. And for those of you that don't know or haven't really listened to the show much, we always tease each other when we're out there fishing. So like Alan will hook a fish and, you know, or I mean, Alan won't hook a fish. I'll hook a fish, or Pepe will hook a fish, or anybody else will hook a fish, and it's fish on, Alan. You know, it's just one of those things that we do. And I hear way back behind me in the distance, Wade go, fish on. And I, like, ignored it. I didn't look back. I didn't acknowledge it. And, like, not even 30 seconds later, much louder, fish on! Like, just really trying to get my attention. And so I turned around and I come back over to him. And him and Chris had both caught nice redfish or whatever. But leave it to good old Wade, man. He's that guy. Keeps it interesting on the water. But... Now that we've just offended all of our friends, let's go to Captain Alex.
We've got three people in the chat room now.
I know. What's going on, Alex?
Gentlemen, how are you doing this evening?
What's up, man?
Alan, how's it going?
I'm good. So I see your bachelor is now, huh?
Yeah, the wife had to go to the teacher, Dealey Whopper, so me and the kids are doing the daddy at home thing.
Nothing wrong with that. If there's a dad, kids that want to hang out with you, that's you, man. That's for sure.
Well, thank you. We actually took a group of high school boys, Derek Redwine's son and his friends, my boss at Allwater and his son's friends out there to go spearfishing in the river today. It was a pretty interesting trip.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there was some clean water in there in the Banana River, and it's the rain's got it dirtied up a little bit, but it's still holding its own and looking good.
Cool. So what I know and have you talk about your charter business there in a second, but what is the All Water thing? I know I've been seeing you post about the All Water adventures and all that kind of stuff. What's going on with that?
Basically, what we're doing is we're kind of trying to give a locals answer to these fly-by-night kind of rip-off tours and stuff that have been going on. So we got a couple really good guides, got a whole bunch of paddle boards, a really big pontoon boat that's real kind of decked out and nice, and we're taking people out to have fun on the river, you know, live life like we live life for a couple hours, and then sending them back to their rat race that they have to live for the rest of their time. So we're having some fun with it and trying to kind of give people a taste of what our Space Coast life is like, you know. So
very cool.
It's working out good. I've actually kind of starting to grow kind of fond of those paddle boards and looking to hook a couple fish on it. I know Mr. Mike's friend John Billings is the man on them paddle boards around here, and I love it seems like it'd be a fun way to maybe take a fly rod and just go by yourself and quiet and shallow and calm and go sneak up on a fish nice and close, you know. So, the paddleboard stuff is fun and the pontoon stuff is fun, but you know me, I gotta be catching fish at some point in time, or I'm not a happy camper.
So. I hear you. So how's the charter stuff going?
Good. The bookings are good, and the fish are biting solid right now, so that's always a good situation when the fish are solid and you got people coming in and taking trips and showing them a good time on our water. You know, of course, the No Motor Zone has been producing steady for me, as it always does, and the Indian River has been a close second, that's for sure, actually kind of excited about all this rain we've got. I don't know about you guys in the other parts of the county, but the Space Coast here in Merritt Island has been nothing but dumping buckets for days. And I know Mr. Levi knows what that means.
Yes, sir.
I certainly do, and it's one of my favorite things. I grew up doing it on my street, and that's the ditch tarpon, and they're all over Merritt Island, canals and ditch. And then plus you get the good mixed bag up in those culvert outflows, and if you find somewhere with some kind of water flowing into the river, you're almost guaranteed to find everything from a snook to a red trout, you know, ladyfish piled up. And then, of course, the ones that I love the most, the baby tarpon, are my favorite. So,
that's awesome, man.
And that's, for those of you guys that don't know the name of that game, that's those tarpon, the little tarpon, they love small, they love, white. Anything small and white, they'll jump all over pretty much. And nothing beats a live finger mullet for them, though. Anything 3 to 5 inches on a circle hook will pretty much put you seal deal almost immediately.
And there's some pretty good size ones, too, kind of cruising through some of those canals and ditches, man. I saw a couple of them that were pushing 5 to 10 pounds the other day. And, of course, a couple weeks back, I blew up my G. Loomis Cross Current on probably about a 30, 35-pounder or so. Definitely get out there and get after it for sure.
Yeah, these people are kind of shocked when you hook a 30-pound fish and it goes eight crap crazy and blows your rod up, but they're powerful even at that size. And I'll never forget an old article, I believe it was a Florida Sportsman article, and it was, I forget, it was some famous fisherman and an epic battle that lasted hours and went through the Indian River and the Mosquito Lagoon. And I'd have to look it up to actually figure out what the article was. But we actually get girls out there in the Indian River every now and then. So.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I got word from a couple of different people that there was a couple of a small pod of about 100-pounders, 80 to 100-pounders, that were rolling around over in Hall River Canal.
Yeah, if I remember the story correctly, it was a fly caught, real light tippet, and they were going for a record, and they ran all through the Indian River. They caught it somewhere in the mid Indian River, a little bit, right around our area, or to touch south, and ended up all the way up in the Mosquito Lagoon, several fuel drops and food drops later. Finally, I think. I don't know if they even boated the fish. I think they might have broke it off right at the end. But all I remember is in my little brain reading through Florida Sportsman, it was an epic tale that I wanted to relive.
So let me ask you something, dude. We all know you, as basically Captain Carr's Park, right? I mean, like, you grew up fishing there. You pretty much lived there at times. And here's an interesting question for you. Of course, I love catching flounder, right? Like, who doesn't like catching flounder? But and a couple of times while I've worked the outer bars up there in the no motor zone, I could have sworn I've seen some of them pushing off. As you get up to them, they kind of push off along the bottom. Am I seeing things, or have you ever personally caught flounder? And if so, you know, do you think it's a viable fishery?
I have never personally gotten one, though I've had a couple of hits that were awfully reminiscent of something that a flounder would look like. I have seen fish. I've seen fish up to 5 pounds cruising around inside along the shoreline. I have also seen fish, all the spoil islands that dot the center of the Banana River there, running all the way up to Ski Island. Yeah. I've seen fish on every single one of those islands, and I've actually caught them on those islands, whether live bait, and I think I've actually gotten a few on paddle tails too. But that's, you know, of course the locks are right there, and actually I just saw today that the locks are open and free flowing again, you know, doing their thing every, you know, a couple times a day, 3 or 4 times a day, as opposed to only opening once or twice a day, if that. So maybe that'll kind of get this fall's kind of flounder moving around a real bit again. But I would definitely not put it past hooking a flounder out there. Although it's doesn't seem to be like it's a viable go out and target flounder for a day. I know you and me have talked about gigging them, and if there was ever a chance to really find out if they're there, you go poking around in the middle of the night and you find out whatever is there, that's for sure.
So. Yeah, well, that's the other portion of the flounder gigging extravaganza I would love to do. However, after my experience, which I failed to talk about as well on Saturday with the at least 10-foot gator that I just about stuck in the eyeball with my push pole that was laying on the bottom. I don't know that I'd want to go sticking stuff on the bottom in the middle of the night up there in the NMZ. But then again, I mean, maybe they'll stay away from you. I don't know, man. Who cares? Let's just do it.
Yeah, I know. I heard
Alan can walk on water whenever alligators come around. So
I can. I was going to say they've been thick out there too. So I'll run blocking for you.
Most of them aren't too friendly. It's the ones that get a little too friendly that you got to worry about. Those ones, the ones that come running when they see you, that think they're going to get something. Those are the ones that are a bother. But it is awfully gatory out there. I've several times seen gators walking around through the park, not in their water, but trotting around through the park. Most of Merritt Island, either side, Indian River, and then all the way up to the north end, and then the Banana River side also, there's little lakes and ponds and sloughs and cuts that are all back in the woods, and a lot of people don't even know they're there. And it's only a hop, skip, and a jump for, you know, a big old gator to cruise back and forth, and they do. So they'll show up out of nowhere and disappear out of nowhere, and there's certainly some big ones around here.
Hey, I remember, what was it? What tournament was it? Was it yours now, Alan, that one come walking across the street?
No, that was it? Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah, we're all sitting there at the campsite, and I think it was Alex's wife pulled up and got out of the truck and came over and got us. We're all sitting around the fire there, and there's about a, 6-8 footer just kind of lumbering right across the road from the other side over in the camp area.
Yeah, so, probably when I'm looking for some raccoons or something over there.
That or don't leave your dogs tied up out there at night for sure. Come back to just a chewed off leash.
Yeah, they're out there, and that's what he was doing. There's a lake back in the back of there, and he was going from edge to edge. And, you know, it's never a good idea in our parts to, if you're up near the shoreline and you see something that looks like a little cutout hole along the bank, to go poking around in there. Because you might not know what's on the other side.
Dude, every time I do that, every single time I see a creek or like a little small cut through, I always stick the nose of the kayak in there, and that's the first thing that pops into my mind is, this is stupid. Like, I'm I'm just asking to get ambushed right now and taken out by a gator.
Yep. It's something you have to live with around here. I grew up on out there on North Merritt Island, and I waded before I ever had any kayaks or anything like that. I had a bicycle in my feet, and that's what I did. I waded, and I've walked with those gators for a long time. And, you know, you can only tempt fate so many times, though. So.
That's your Indian name now. He walks with gators.
Walks with gators. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, you know, wrap up your show. Have a good time. Thanks for letting me call in. All you guys out there listening, go out and catch a big fish. Post it up. Write a story about it. Let us hear about it. We all love hearing fish stories, that's for sure.
And, hey, if someone wants to get a hold of you, Alex, for a charter, or if somebody wants to find out more about Coastal Angler Magazine, how can they do those things?
Well, what you really want to do is take a look at Coastal Angler Magazine Brevard right now. We're doing a big chore with kind of putting everything together and trying to make a somewhere for people to come and look and get advice from guides that write for the magazine. I write for the kayak angler portion of it. And, you know, get advice from us. We're putting all kinds of giveaways on it. That's Coastal Angler Mag Brevard, and it'll take you right to it. If you want to come catch a big redfish. We're coming into the fall mullet run. It's going to be knocking on the door, and I got a little surprise with the mother shipping going on with the fall mullet run, and getting up there to the tip of the Cape and doing some of that stuff and the mayhem that ensues as the mullet come around the tip. Go ahead and go to locallinescharters.com or give me a call personally at 321-480-3255.
Sweet. Cool. Thanks, Alex.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, later, brother.
You too.
Later.
Alex, man, I'll tell you what. That guy is full of great information. He is.
That is one of the most knowledgeable, aside from you, Chuck, one of the most knowledgeable people I've ever met fishing-wise. I mean, he knows this area. Well, he grew up here. He's, born and raised in the East Central Florida area, and very, very, very class act. So definitely worth the trip if anybody wants to hook up with Captain Alex and get on a big old redfish.
And Alex is quite the comedian, too, as well, during the nighttime festivities that usually ensue at Cars Park before tournaments. You get a couple of beers in that guy, and he is a riot. So very, very cool, man. Definitely appreciate him calling in. I'm going to hit one more commercial spot before we end the show. Go ahead and try and get out of here right around the 9 o'clock hour. We got a few minutes before if you have a last-minute fishing report you want to get on here, you want to send us out any information, we definitely would appreciate it. 714-816-4727 is the number again, 714-816-4727. You are listening to the Monday Night Kickoff Show here on Kayak Fishing Radio.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
Fantastic. And, of course, that voice, if you don't know that voice, folks, then you don't listen to Fishing Florida Radio, either on iHeartRadio or 740 The Game if you're local here to the Central Florida area. Of course, Steve Chapman, Captain Mike Ortego, and Boudreaux put on, without a doubt, the best radio show that you can listen to, tune into, hear from some of the industry legends and professionals, lots of hijinks as well that go on with the fine folks over at Fishing Florida Radio. America. That's right. They're American. I think Peppy was talking about the cooler, but we'll go with it. And so, that's definitely cool, man. Definitely appreciate Steve with all his support. And of course, Captain Mike Portigo and Tackle Webbs with all his support that he shows, not only just me in the show here, but, all of the endeavors that us, our silly little kayakers do in our, funny little plastic boats. So definitely appreciate that. And maybe we can get them to take a road trip and follow us up to Big Lagoon State Park for the boondoggle. What do you think?
Oh, heck yeah. There you go.
Are you going to the boondoggle, Alan?
You know what? I am, but I may be solo. So, you know, it's not a good thing, but it is a good thing. One of those kind of deals. So, we're trying to work it out. You know, if we don't all make it up there, then I might just have to maybe just load up with somebody else and come up solo. Definitely can't miss that one. But we're trying to work it out. Work conflicts.
Wow, check that out. That's how staff. Remember what we said the other day, staff. That's how staff.
Yeah.
Steve Chapman is. He says we broadcast up there and have someone that said they'd pay for us to come up. Wow, that is staff. I need to. Why can't we figure that out? Let's figure that out. Let's figure out how we can get somebody to pay our way to go to the boondocks.
Yeah.
We don't even get like a sixth of a percentile of what Fish and Florida Radio does as far as listener base. But we definitely appreciate each and every one of you that do listen to our show. That's awesome, man. I'm pretty sure I know who that probably is too. Like if it has anything to do with kayak fishing, I mean, it'd be our good friends over there at the Sunjammers, but I don't know. Maybe not. Yeah. But, someday we'll get there, Alan, someday, but for now we can only dream. Yes, it is. See, boom, shakalaka. Let's see. So this weekend coming up, fishing plans. You have fishing plans, Alan?
You know what? I was thinking. I think you mentioned it the other day too, with you, Trey, taking your son. And I know my daughter. I got up Sunday morning about 4 o'clock, getting everything ready to go. And I guess I was a little bit too loud, woke her up. She came in the kitchen and didn't know I was going fishing, so she got all upset and everything. So I need to get my daughter out of the water. I know my wife's been bugging me to get her out, but my daughter is begging to go fishing. So I think I might get her out to one of my favorite little local spots that I've been fishing lately and maybe pick up a couple dozen live shrimp or something and make the short paddle out and see if I can't get her on a nice little redfish or trout or whatever. Kids don't care. Fish is fish. So that may be my fishing plan is a family trip. I think I've been doing a lot for myself lately, so maybe get the wife and daughter out. So what I'm looking at, weather permitting, probably.
I got a great idea.
What's that?
I was waiting for you to answer. I'm going to take Trey and I'm going to put him in the PA-14 with me and we'll go out to the bar and we'll soak giant hunks of ladyfish.
There you go.
And
I got
and if we can get our kids each on a 40 plus inch redfish, that would be pretty epic.
I would say so. That'd be fun. Just have to strap them down.
Dude, if Trey could catch a redfish that's as long as he is tall, he's 43 inches. If I can get him a redfish that's as long as he is tall, I think that would be pretty damn epic. And if it happens, I will have to make sure to get him a mount of that fish.
Oh yeah, Browns. Browns will do.
Come
that.
On. Oh, of course. Those are my people over there at Brown's Taxidermy here in Fort Canaveral. Come on. But no, that's my plan, man. My plan is to get my little guy out there and see what he can do. Every time I come home from fishing, he always just looks at me and shakes his head. Sometimes he doesn't even say anything.
Yeah.
You get the same thing?
Same thing. I got it at 4 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. I just got those puppy dog eyes because I wasn't, going to be there when she got up in the morning, so... Tucked her into bed with mommy and went out the door. That's all I could think of leaving, so I got to get her on the water. So I think that's sounds like a plan.
Trey cracked me up the other day. He was like, Daddy, can we go down the lake? Daddy, can we go down the lake? Daddy, can we go down the lake? I'm like, yeah, we can go down the lake. Okay, cool. Can we go fishing? I'm like, yeah, sure, we can go fishing. Cool. Then we can catch the fish and put them in a cooler and bring them home. I'm like, all right, cool. You're going to eat fish sticks? He's like, no. I'm like, well, why are we going to put the fish in the cooler? So they can swim. And I'm like, it doesn't really work that way, son, but all right. And then he goes, this is the best quote of the entire lake experience with my son. We throw in, Tammy was with us, by the way. Thank you, Tammy, if you're listening, for the use of your little micro pole. But Tammy threw a hunk of bread over the side of the dock, and a bunch of brim came up and started getting crazy with it, and that was awesome. And so Trey freaks out, and he looks down in the water, and there's a swarm of like 100 of them, and he goes, "Daddy." I said, "Yes, son." He goes, I want you to hook that one. And I said, "What?" And he goes, "I want you to hook that one." And he's pointing at this giant swarm of fish. So I just played along. I'm like, "Okay, watch." Took red ball, put on the hook, threw it down, said, "Boom, got him." So I caught that one, buddy. I caught that one. He goes, "Oh, you did, you did. You caught the one I wanted you to catch." I'm like, "Wow."
I must be like
Superman right now to my kid, you know? But no, that'll be fun. Yeah, we should do that. Are you gonna get the wife to come out?
Yeah. I'll I got two kayaks, so she hasn't got to use what she considers her CUDA yet. So probably get that out there for her, and I'll take Jessica and the tuna, set it up tandem, and do some. Oh wow! All right. Anyway. I need to delete a comment out of the chat room. Thanks, Wade. All right, where are you?
Wade is the first.
You know what? She has. That's the first person I've seen that has completely flipped a kayak upside down. So I got to give her credit. So, that's good. We were meant for each other for sure. Turtle.
Hey, you know what's funny though? I thought my comment at Richard's store was pretty funny about how your daughter's the only one in your household that hasn't turtled the kayak.
Hasn't rolled a kayak. Yeah, well, you know what? That could happen. I say, well, I'll have her out there Saturday. You know what? I might let her just roll it just to get it over with.
Greg, that's a low blow. Man. That's a low blow right there, Greg. Greg's a key loser.
It's okay. That hurts. It's all right.
That's $1,000 day, man. That ain't
all right. Yeah. That's easy. 500 something. But anyway. All right. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. All right, man. So we know what you're going to do this weekend. You're going to try and get the family out. That's cool. I'm going to do the same thing. Remember when Chris dropped his camera at No Motors Home? What did I say? Yeah, that's right. Chris almost dropped it. And he put it on the bottom, actually, is what he did. He didn't drop it. We set the camera on the bottom on one of the shoals or one of the outside bars so that I could pedal over the top of it and kind of get a cool camera angle.
Cool.
Whatever.
Very cool.
And then Wade and Chris goes, "I can't see it because it got a little cloudy." And Wade goes, "It's up there with Alan's keys and his camera."
Oh, wow. All right. Sorry.
Wrap it up. All right. So seriously, do us all a favor. Take a kid fishing. They are the future of our sport, man. It is so rewarding to see your children catch fish. It's just, there's nothing better, man. It is the best experience you'll ever have as a parent, grandparent, uncle, aunt, whatever. If you have little brothers and sisters, take them out there too. I got to say, man, I'm really, really impressed with the younger generation here in the kayaking community in Central Florida. Listening to these guys that are going out off the beach catching sharks and good sized sharks at that and handling themselves well and not getting themselves in any trouble out there. That's good to hear, man. It's awesome to see the sport growing by leaps and bounds, and hopefully it continues to do so. You can tell with some of these events that go on throughout the year that it's definitely not slowing down at any time. I mean, the boondoggle is slated to be the biggest boondoggle that we've ever had. By probably a few hundred people. So it can be quite interesting up there at Big Lagoon State Park. Don't forget to join us there. We'll hit a little boondoggle spot here in just a second so you guys can hear a little infomercial, if you will. If you haven't made plans yet, you better hurry up and make them. Don't think there's very many camping spots left up there at Big Lagoon State Park, and the fishing there that time of year should be pretty awesome. I've already decided that I'm going to follow Andrew Mixon around the entire time and hopefully catch some groupers and hopefully we can find some triggerfish to play with as well. And, Yeah, just have a good time. It's all about having a good time. Fishing is always secondary at the boondoggle. But, and then, you know, you look at these tournaments, too, the tournaments that are going on. The Jacksonville Classic obviously was a good turnout this year. The IFA events have had a little bit bigger of a turnout this year. I mean, even the tournament you threw together, Alan, the Troutzilla tournament, this Redfish tournament, Emily's tournament. I mean, it's good stuff, man. And, you know, just continue to do what you can to help promote the sport. Get on Facebook, get on social media, talk about kayaking. Next week, I want to talk about something that's been kind of intriguing me, is what makes you decide, or what tells you in your head what you should buy as far as gear. Like, who, you know, what makes you want to buy Shimano over somebody else, or Penn over somebody else, or whatever, you know, or what makes you want to buy this branded jig head over this branded jig head, or this plastic bait over this plastic bait? You know, is it marketing? Is it presence on social media that make you want to try it? You know, how did you come about using the gear that you currently use today, including kayaks? So please, if you're going to listen to our show next week, do me a favor, give us a call here on the show, 714-816-4727. Let us know what it is that drives you to use the gear that you use. And if there's anything oddball that you might use, say you use some bass lures for redfish, or you use, you know, some West Coast type plastics or hard baits for fish here in Florida. And I don't mean West Coast of Florida, like California is more what I'm talking about. Then feel free to call us and let us know that too. If you have any questions, comments, concerns about the show, feel free to contact either myself or Alan Ryland. You can find me on Facebook at Redfish Chuck, or just look me up, Charles Levi, either way, it'll pop up. And then, also too, my email address is redfishchuck@hotmail.com. Feel free to contact me. Alan, you want to give out some information, and then we'll wrap this puppy up.
Yeah, man, same thing on Facebook. Just look me up, Alan Ryland, AlanRyland. And the email is aryland3@cfl.rr.com. If anybody looking to fish anywhere around this area or whatever, any kind of information, or, you know, what's going on where, I'd be glad to help you out. So just hit me up.
Very cool. And, of course, as always, I like to thank some of my sponsors, Hobie Kayaks, Orca Coolers, Bending Branches Paddles, Eagle Nest Outfitters, Ego Nets as well, Bloody Decks, YakAngler.com, Kayaks by Bo, Arctic Ice. I mean, there's the list goes on and on and on. Tackle Webs, of course. Captain Mike Ortego is my brother from another mother. Check out his products. If you don't have a Tackle Webs on your kayak, I do not know what you're doing with your tackle storage systems. It just makes sense, man. They fit on every frame chair. They fit on all your bungee systems behind your seat. He even makes them with Velcro. So, I mean, if you wanted to have a custom bag made, or you think that a specific style of kayak needs to have a custom Tackle Webs bag made for it, feel free to contact him. The guy's always open for information. He loves to get feedback from the kayak fishing community. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Tackle Webs bags on my Hobie Pro Angler 14. So, I don't know, man. I don't know what I ever did before having some Tackle Webs bags. So thank you so much, Captain Mike, for all of the support and that you show us all each and every week. So, and don't forget also, too, if you're in the market for a custom rod, check out our boy Lenny from Black Dog Custom Rods. The guy builds an incredibly sick rod. I don't know if there's anything else that we can say about that. Don't forget to register again for the Emily's tournament at www.helpemilynow.org. And, you know, it's a great event again. It'll probably be one of the better tournaments that we'll go to again this year, like it was last year. So definitely check it out, man. It's going to be good stuff. Go ahead, Alan, hit up your sponsors, bro. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. All right, man. Yeah. Kayaks by Bo, Airy Goods Outdoor Shop, Red Zone Apparel, Bending Branches Paddles, Temple Fork Outfitters, Yak Gear, and Railblazer. And, of course, Mr. Chris Finfey with Slayer Ink Lures.
Damn. I don't know how. Every week I forget him and Railblazer.
That's all right.
I need to post the list of sponsors next to the computer, apparently.
Yeah, I got it wrote down.
Yeah, well, appreciate that. All right, man. Well, cool. Appreciate it, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Those, again, who are in the chat room are still tuned in. If you want to get into the chat room, feel free to do so at any point during any of the shows. Check it out. It's pretty fun, man. I don't know if you guys have been following the chat room at all tonight. It's been a lot of fun. There's been some antics in there. Some every now and again, you get one of those guys like the inappropriate gentleman that was in there, and I apologize for that. We try and drop those people as fast as we can, but, you know, this is a live show, and there's not much we can do about it. So, but with that being said, again, take a kid fishing, and yeah, God bless. Be safe. See ya.
Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Is it a tournament? No, it's not a freaking tournament. A boondoggle is just an event where a bunch of kayak anglers come together for a weekend of fun and kayak fishing. We all get together and fish, check out industry-related products, have a big dinner, and swap a fishing story or two. What's that? Sounds like a useless waste of time? Yeah, it is. So what? So get your butt up off the couch and get to a boondoggle. Bring yourself. Bring your family. Heck, bring your hairy-ass brother-in-law. I don't care. Just get to a boondoggle. Check out yakangler.com/boondoggle for more information.